Father's intention or the Father's vision is that he will manifest himself through everyone, every part of the body of Christ. Experience will be measured. Your victory will be measured according to the purity of your doctrine. Your progress will be measured according to the soundness of your doctrine. Things have the power to shape a believer's future. They continue steadfastly first in the apostles' doctrine, because it is from this doctrine that the power will flow with the intention that God had in mind.
We'll read 42 very quickly. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. We'll pick up the teaching from there. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. Primitive apostolic practices. Hallelujah. Primitive apostolic practices. Primitive apostolic practices. You can put the scripture up. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They continued steadfastly. It wasn't something they did once in a while. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Hallelujah. When we're laying the foundation for this teaching, there were things I said, and I would like to repeat them. First of those things is this. I told you that, in case you are surprised about the title of the message, okay, it sounds a little spooky, you know, it sounds a little serious. In case you are surprised, I have an explanation for you. Amen. And at the beginning of the series, I told you that God has an expectation. God has a vision for the New Testament church. Amen. And that vision is to find full expression through every part of the church. That vision is to find full expression, is to have a generation of the church rise that can dispense Christ to their generation or to this generation fully. And by that I mean not just through the people on the pulpit, but through every believer. The New Testament church is not modeled after Moses. No, it's not. The church that Moses pastored, he was the champion of the church. He brought the presence of God and others watched him. The Bible says Moses knew the ways of God. The children of Israel knew the acts of God. But you see, that is not the vision of God for the New Testament church. It should not be said that Dr. Caris knew the ways of God and the rest of Glory Zone knew the acts of God. It will never be said, because that is not God's pattern. Are we together? God's vision is to have every part, every member of the church manifest his fullness. We are all actually ministry. Glory to God. And that means we have the responsibility to receive from God and dispense to our generation. We have a responsibility to grow into maturity and manifest the glory, manifest the beauty, manifest the praises of our God who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, if that is God's vision, that means every pastor, every leader, every trainer should adjust their curriculum to fit God's expectation. Are we together? That means we can no longer raise consumers in church. You know what I mean by that? Now, every true ministry should minister both to the needs of the people and to their destiny. So you don't have just going to church where your needs, your physical needs are just being ministered to. Physical, marital, financial needs are just being ministered to. No. A church should pay attention to developing you for the fulfillment of your ministry. Are we together? And that is the crux of what we're talking about. This is how the early church was structured. And I'm going to show that to you shortly. We see people who were equipped enough to represent God who were not even in the fivefold ministry. Are we together? They were not apostles. Glory to God. But they stood. Some of them were not even deacons, but they carried the power of God. Hallelujah. They could articulately discuss God with intelligence and power. They could present Christ with power. They didn't have to be apostles. They didn't have to be pastors. And that is the focus of God for this end time. Are we still together? Glory to God. And you see, even the Moses, who was the superstar, expressed his concern, or rather, he voiced the mind of God in that Numbers 11:29. He says, I would to God that all of God's people were prophets. I would to God that all of God's people were prophets, and that the Spirit of the Lord will be upon them, that God will put his Spirit upon them. Hallelujah. Even Moses wasn't satisfied with just being the superstar. So when they came and told him that, look, elders are men that are prophesying Stop them. Stop them. Say, oh, are you jealous for me? I would God that all of his people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And guess what? This desire, this prophecy, so to say, has been fulfilled in the New Testament. It has. It has. It has. That means Moses was saying, look, I don't just want to be the superstar. I want every of God's people to carry God, to manifest God, to speak for God. Yes. This was Moses thinking. And truly, God, he was speaking the mind of God, and that has been fulfilled in the New Testament. That's what we're saying. It's been fulfilled in the New Testament. This is 2,000 years into the New Testament. We can't be doing otherwise. We can't. Glory to God forevermore. So we got back into seeing how, into seeing the practices, the primary elementary practices of the early church. And our landing page is that 42nd verse of the second chapter of the book of Acts. It says, they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Two things we will draw from there. The first, we have handled it fairly well, is commitment to sound doctrine. Commitment to sound doctrine. Commitment to sound doctrine. They were committed to sound doctrine. They were committed to the doctrines of Christ. They were committed to the definite doctrine. There was no ambiguity about it. They called it the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There were many other doctrines there, but they were committed to the apostles' doctrine. And I read in the first service, you can get the materials. We read scriptures that pointed to the fact that there is a definiteness to what you call sound doctrine. It is not subjective. It is very objective. Glory to God. And we added that if you rightly divide the word of God, you would understand what the Bible meant by sound doctrine. And there is such a thing, and that means there's such a thing as rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, giving diligence or study, the King James says, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, orthotomio, rightly dividing. It means to cut through with surgical precision, rightly dividing. That means there's a right way to divide the word. That means there's a precision. That means the word of God can be divided with precision. That's what they say. And if the Bible is saying the word can be divided rightly with precision, the Bible contains how to do it. Have it together. He will not say rightly dividing the word of truth and the scripture will be blind to how to divide the word of truth. There has to be a reference in scripture to show how to rightly divide the word of truth. Glory to God. And I believe I entered into in the first service talking about the reverse interpretation of scriptures. Now look, the entirety of the scripture points to one person. It is Christ. In the Old Testament, he was concealed. In the New Testament, he was revealed. Christ and all of God's purposes in Christ were concealed as mysteries in the Old Testament. Concealed. So when you read the Old Testament, it's not just some boring stories, some laws that were given, some psalms that you should sing. It's beyond that. Reverse means the understanding of the New Testament should explain the Old Testament. The apostles talked about mysteries that were hidden for ages and generations, now revealed. That means they were not saying God wanted to be mysterious. No, because they said the mystery has been revealed. I'll just read one of many scriptures to that effect, and then we will move on. Glory, glory, glory to God forevermore. Are you still with me? Romans 16:25. Very quickly, Romans 16:25. So you have to rely on the New Testament to interpret the Old Testament. That's the first thing you have to notice. The first thing you have to take note of. There's a right way to divide the world. And the beginning of that journey is to understand that, number one, Christ is the center of all of Scripture. Number two, Christ was that mystery that was hidden. Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus was that mystery that was concealed, hidden in the Old Testament, now revealed in the New Testament. Are we together? Romans, I gave you a scripture. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. And by mystery, we're simply talking about a hidden truth. Something that is reserved to be revealed in due season to the initiated. Not something that cannot be discerned. Are we together? So when you carry your Bible and you're reading the Old Testament portion of Scripture, if you really want to understand it, read the epistles. Read the epistles. The epistles were not manufactured. No. The epistles were a revelation of the things that the law and the prophets were talking about. Have it together. They were not manufactured. When you read even the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15, I believe, when they were responding to the allegations against Paul, how that they went, against against Paul, how that they went to the Gentiles teaching about the Christ, James made reference to the writings of the prophets. The same thing with all of the epistles. They were just the revelation. Oh, this was what the prophets were talking about. Oh, this was what David was talking about. Oh, this was what Moses was talking about. So the law and the prophets were describing something in a shadow. You remember Hebrews chapter 10? It says the law was a shadow of the things to come. Of the things to come. A shadow of the things to come. A shadow of the things to come. It means it was a type, a sketch. That's the word, a sketch. The way you sketch, you're an architect. When you sketch a building, you can sketch this speaker, this feedback sphere. You just sketch it. It looks like this. It's attempting to describe something. Now this thing has arrived. The thing has arrived. This is the substance of what you are sketching. So he's saying the Old Testament is a sketch of the substance. So to understand that sketch, if you really want to understand that sketch, look at the substance. Because there are things that will be missing in the sketch that you can't find. That will not be missing in the substance. They are fully expressed in the substance. Are we together? This is how to understand the Bible. It's not just a book on principle. It's not just a book on social works. It's not just a book of moral lessons. No, it is the revelation of a person. That is the summit of the revelation of scriptures. Is a person. It's about the person. It's about the person. Romans 16. Quickly. Romans 16, 25. Look at this. It's known to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So the gospel, which is the preaching of Jesus Christ, that's what the gospel is a revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Do you understand that? So when I made reference to mysteries, hidden before the world began, mysteries hidden for generations and ages, mysteries, it was the gospel concealed, now revealed in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Are we together? There shouldn't be confusion. John chapter 5. We read it. Let me still read it. Read it in the first of it. John chapter 5, verse 39. Oh, thank you, Lord. John 5, 39. Eroba Kasaya. John 5, 39. Thank you, Lord. Repeko salaprikapas. Just 1 minute. Is Jesus talking? Let me just go straight to 39. He says, you are busy analyzing the scriptures. You know, he was talking to the Pharisees. He says, you are busy analyzing the scriptures, poring over them, hoping to gain eternal life. That means they were just interested in the letters. He says, they were analyzing the scriptures, going over them, hoping to have eternal life. You need to hear this now. Everything you read points to me. This is Jesus talking. Everything you read points to who? To me. Everything you read points to me. King James says, they are they which testify of me. The scriptures are a testimony of a person. His name is Jesus. And all that he came to accomplish. Are we together? This is how to discern sound doctrine. This is how. Paul says, this thing preached to you. He called it my gospel. The preaching of Jesus Christ is the revelation of the mystery that was hidden for ages and for generation. Hallelujah. Luke 24, quickly. Luke 24. Luke 24. First of all, let's go to 2 Timothy, 2 Peter chapter 1, 18 to 19. Don't go back. We'll go to Luke 24, 25 to 27. 2 Peter chapter 1, 18 to 19, King James. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. You know, this is Apostle Peter giving account of what happened on the mountain of transfiguration, what we call the mountain of transfiguration. They heard a voice from the excellent glory saying, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him," right? They had such mighty experience. I needed to follow me. We're talking about commitment to sound doctrine as a primitive apostolic practice, something we cannot leave to chance in this generation. He was talking about the experience they had on the holy mountain. You know, it's amazing how in the name of spiritism, in the name of revival, in the name of spirituality, quote and unquote, people give more honor to human experiences, spiritual experiences, quote and unquote, than they give to the written word. And that's where I'm going to. It ought not to be so. It ought not to be so. In fact, the concept of doctrine must start with your reverence for the written word. Sound doctrine. You can never understand sound doctrine if you don't have honor for the written word. Put it up for me. Just put the scriptures. You know the drill. We have also, watch this, they have had experiences of the holy mountain. They were with him in the excellent glory. When the voice came from heaven, they trembled. I mean, he was ecstatic. He was so ecstatic that Peter said, "Master, let's build three tabernacles. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for us. One for you." Of course, they were going to stay with Jesus. Hallelujah. But see, this is Paul making reference to that experience. And by the way, when you interpret that experience, you know, there are layers of interpretation to what happened there. There's the eschatological explanation. There is the grace explanation. Glory to God. You see, Moses was a representation of the law. Elijah was a representation of the prophet. This was them coming to say, "Look, we are a testimony. All that we did in our ministry was a testimony to the reality of the Son of God. We were giving testimony to the Son of God." Do you understand? That was what happened there. In fact, there's an impartation interpretation of it. Won't go there today. Glory to God. But Peter understood more. In his writing, he explains to us, with all those experiences, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in the dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. He's saying you have to judge every experience in the light of scripture. Did you get that? Very important. You have to. Somebody said, well, that may be what the Bible says. Well, I know what I saw in the vision. You are a child. You are proud and arrogant. You don't care what the Bible says. This is what you saw in the vision. Are you not aware that demons give visions? Aren't you aware that Satan gives vision? You know, some people think the realm of the spirit is an exclusive reserve of believers. And that's a mistake. That's a huge mistake. You'll be misled if you think like that. You must understand that the realm of the spirit is like a hole in wilderness. Your only compass in navigating safely is a written word. That's your compass. Glory to God. So Paul is saying we have a more sure word. A more sure word. A more sure word. It gives credence to the superiority of the written word over experiences. That's what he said. We have a more sure word of prophecy, and you would do well to hold on to it as unto a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart. Glory to God forevermore. Go to Luke 24 now. Go to Luke 24, 25 to 27. Very important. What we're talking about is extremely important. Now, this was Jesus on the way to Emmaus. You need to hear this. This was Jesus on the way to Emmaus. He was talking with two of his disciples, Cleopas and his wife, I believe. And they were concerned about what Jesus came to do and how he had died, how some women had come to say they couldn't find his body, all kinds of stories. Okay. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of hearts to believe all that the prophets have spoken. How many things? How many things? All that the prophets have spoken. I need to follow. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? He's saying the prophet gave a testimony to these things, that Christ ought to suffer these things and enter into his glory. And this is Jesus now. And beginning at Moses, which is the law, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Remarkable. You will think that if Jesus is standing before you, having just been raised from the dead, and you are doubting, the first thing you do is to carry your hand and touch where he was crucified, and touch the piercing of the wound. I mean, of the nail, that 7-inch wound in his wrist. You will think that's what you will do. You come here and touch. See me now. See me. See my feet. See my wrist. See the mark. I am he. No. He was standing right there with them. But instead of just saying, see, he took them back to the scripture. The Bible says, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them the things concerning himself. But he was standing there. Is to show you again God's mind concerning the superiority of the written word above experiences. Above experiences. He began at Moses and the prophets. He expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. Again, he's saying the scriptures testify of me. Everything that was written in the scripture points to me. If you look closely, if you unpack it closely, in the midst of that mystery, once it's revealed, you will see Christ again. That's what he's saying. He took them to the written word. Listen, your first shield against error is your honor for the written word. You can write that down. Your first shield against error is your honor for the written word. And this is exactly what we see Jesus do here. He was standing there, but took them back into the scriptures. Beginning at Moses, he expounded to them the things concerning himself. He didn't just say, oh, here, see me, here I am. I'm Jesus. I just rose from the dead. Look up the piercings of the nail. No, he began at Moses and the prophets. He expounded to them the things concerning himself. You must have honor and reverence for the world. It's a proof that you are committed to sound doctrine. It's a proof. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you blessed already? And be firm about this thing. Don't say, well, maybe some people are not, it's not their gift. They are not given the gift of sound doctrine, but they have the power of God. There's nothing like that. You may be dealing with a sorcerer. You may be dealing with a wizard. Are you here? Oh, hope you know in the scriptures, Paul was deceived for many days. Paul the apostle. Question. The things the lady was saying, were they true or false? They were true. But the spirit with which she said them was wrong. So that somebody is saying something that is right. One of our warfare in this end time is the war against deception. And one of the things you must guard jealously in this end time is discernment. Discernment. Are you listening to me? Discernment. Discernment. We're fighting very intelligent devils. The level of demonic intelligence with which some people are operating things on the earth, you have to be highly discerning to know. But you see, the foundation of all this is this commitment to sound doctrine. Because if you understand what sound doctrine is, the body of truth that should shape our belief system as revealed in the scriptures, you understand how to rightly divide the word. What is the focus of scripture? What is the heart of the message of the Father? to humanity. Once you understand that, it becomes very difficult to be deceived, to get deceived. Are we together? Once you understand that, and you have a walk with God, your spirit will always react to things that are not of God. What did the Bible say? He said, prove all things. Prove all things. Prove all things. That means don't just watch somebody on TV and say, oh, see the power of God. No, you have to prove it. You don't believe a person the first day you watch them. I've told you before, for me, all so-called prophets are suspects until they are proved. Are we together? I didn't say so. The Bible says so. It's a proof of things. Then hold fast to that which is true. Hold fast. Again, that is an expression of sound doctrine. It's teaching you how to live in this wicked world. We are up against demonic structures, demonically intelligent orchestrations. Are you here? You can't be naive. You can't be tossed to and fro by every wind. You must know how to sense God. You must know how to sense Christ. You must know how to sense the life of God in a place, from a lip, from a person's lips. You have to. You must know how to discern sound doctrine. You must know when there's a gap in sound doctrine. At least the basic body of truth given to us to form our belief systems. I tell you, doctrines are powerful. They are not just nothing. They are entry points for spirits. Paul referred to doctrine and he added wind. Moses referred to doctrine. He says, my doctrines are like the rain. So doctrine is not nothing. You have to pay attention. It's not every man of God you should be endorsing online. Have you proved them? Do you know them? Do they live before you? Is their testimony consistent with Christus? We saw it in Hebrews 13, verse 7. He said, follow those who have the rule over you, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means their manner of life showed a consistency. Then verse 9 says, don't be tossed over and fro by every kind of doctrine. Are we together? Don't be moved. Don't be easily swayed. Don't be easily swayed. Hallelujah. Commitment to sound doctrine. This is how the church, this is the foundation of the church. We earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to us. We can't, you should be able to look and look closely and say, Kai, this is not sound. And say, Kai, this does not magnify the crystals. It doesn't. I heard there are prophets that are asking for white goats for prayers to be made. They say, bring a pure white goat. And they call the name of Jesus. That's a gap in sound doctrine. I told those who were around for first service. I heard a story. In fact, there was a lady I had to do deliverance and pray for her. She used to come around to church. I don't see anymore and all that. She was talking about a prophet, a so-called upcoming prophet in this town, who bathed her naked, who said she should come. Real life, we're not quoting what. If someone in church had to send her, he said, you need to go and say, pastor, this one passed my power. Do you understand? What's that? Prophetic act? That's a gap in sound doctrine. Want to bet her, she bet her naked in the night. Only him, only her, and the prophet. Yeah, possibly there were things she did not tell me. Amen. But why would people subject themselves to such horrendous acts? A gap in sound doctrine. A gap in sound doctrine. Is that consistent with the earthly ministry of Jesus? Did the apostles do that? Is that reviewed in the epistles? Or the untamed, exaggerated use of contact points? What do you call it? Contact materials, mantles and substance, and oil and water. People pay money. You see, when you subscribe, when you hear for yourselves teachers having itching ears, you'll be a victim of deception. Gap in doctrine, in sound doctrine. So this water, let's buy it. One cup, 50,000. One bottle, 200,000. They will pay. You know why? They have not sat in a good church to be taught God's word. So they are spiritual zombies that don't know their left from their right. That is not your portion. Commitment to sound doctrine. There are people in the name of looking for answers have gone to different places. Different. There's a young man, I don't know if he's in church. You see, sir, they had even attended going to join one. When he called a group, it was an occulty group just for finance, because of financial stress. And I said, there was a problem with your conviction about the faith in the first place. Because your persuasion shows the most in the days of trials. You can't fake it. You can't fake it. Because you're under financial pressure. You're going to see Ibaba on the road and you say you're a Christian. You are confused. You are confused. You say you don't understand the pressure is much. You are confused. You are not taught the world. You have not met Jesus. You have not met Jesus. And you should meet him. You should meet him in the epistles. You should meet him in the law and the prophets. He says, all of the scriptures point to me. Hallelujah. Oh, once you see him, you will not look for another God. No, you won't. You won't. Commitment to sound doctrine. Are you blessed? Like we say on campus, brother, it's not correct. That is not correct. That is not correct. Don't forget what I'm telling you. We're battling deception. Fighting against highly intelligent devils. Glory to God. I mean, you hear us say they are sorcerers on pulpit. It's no exaggerations. It's for real. It's a fact. If you carry your Bible very well, you will see it. Number two. Can we move to the second part now? Number two. The practice of protracted interface with the teaching of God's word. Primitive apostolic practices. Number two. The practice of protracted interface with the teaching of God's word. Oh God Almighty. Keep verse 42 up again. It says that continue steadfastly. That's talking about extended period of time. Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, one of the meaning of that is teachings. We have handled the doctrine, core doctrine. Now we're talking about teaching of God's word. Teaching. They continued steadfastly. Had extended period of time. In the apostles' teaching. Listen, one of the unmistakable things you will see in the practices of the early church is their devotion and loyalty to the teaching of God's word. That is unmistakable. And in fact, is a common denominator in every genuine move of God across generations. You will see a hunger for the word. You will see an explosive devotion and loyalty to the teaching of God's word. That means people, you know, it was said about the ministry of Jesus that people came from all the regions round about, from the regions of the coast of Tyre and Sidon, they came to hear and to be healed. Even in the ministry of Jesus, they didn't come first to be healed, they came to hear. They came to hear. That means we cannot be a generation of believers who just come to get healed, who just come to receive prophecies, who just come to receive miracles, who just come to receive breakthroughs. No, even in the days of Jesus, they came to hear and to be healed. It's replete. Church history is, you can read it. You can study it yourself. It's a common denominator in every generation, in every genuine move of God. That hunger for the word, that commitment to protracted, that's the word you should be used to. To us using that word here already. That protracted interface with the teaching of God's word is there. You will see it there. Listen. Listen to this. And can you give me the NIV? Give me NIV of verse 42 if you have. Before what I want to say. He says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. That's what I wanted to show you.
They were devoted. They were devoted to teachings. There are Christians that don't like teachings. Have you seen them? They don't like teachings. They don't like teachings. They just don't like it. When they come for counseling, I tell them, okay. Go and listen to Wisdom for Mighty Works, part 1 to 8. Pastor, just pray fast now. Let this thing happen. Let's do something sharp, sharp. Is that spirit of Instagram? Insta spirit. That spirit of Insta spirit. You know, Insta spirit. Immediate. You know what that means, right? You can't carry it on in your walk with God. Are we together? No, you can't carry it on. It doesn't work here. Results are produced. Lasting results are produced by the word of promise. That means you must have an oath or promise for that situation, in that phase, in that season. Because it is with that oath of promise you enter into that which is within the veil. That's what you use to carry out your priestly practices. Don't be a priest without an oath. There must be an oath of promise. And listen, when we discuss things at that level, it is alien to those who are not used to sitting down to receive the ministry of the word. It's alien to them. He says they were devoted, steadfastly devoted to the teachings of the apostles. They gave attention to teachings. Don't have itching ears. Have a personal commitment to interface with the world in a chronic manner. This is how men are made. Are you here? Back to what I wanted to say now. You should write this down. This is God's strategy for multiplying disciples, not just churchgoers. This practice of chronic interface with the teaching of God's word is God's strategy for multiplying disciples. Give me Acts chapter 6, quickly, verse 4 and verse 7. This is God's strategy for multiplying disciples. Look up at me. Disciples are different from churchgoers. Disciples are those who are a representation of their master. That's who a disciple is, a representation of his master. But how do we multiply disciples? The early church knew this. Look at their statement of commitment to the ministry of the word. They said, it's not me that we should leave this thing and set tables. This is the apostles talking. But we'll give ourselves continually brings into mind time, protracted period of time. We'll give ourselves protractedly to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And to the ministry of the word. We're talking about primitive apostolic practices. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Who were they doing the ministry of the word with? With the people. Staying in the word. That's what they were saying. We will teach the word continually. We will honor and engage the ministry of the word continually. That's verse 4. A statement of commitment to this protracted teaching of God's word. Verse 7, look at the result in verse 7. Clear. And the word of God increased, la peto, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. How? Greatly. You don't see why we have more churchgoers than disciples. And you don't see why an average churchgoer is not dependable. Because discipleship is impossible without hearing things. And among the things you hear are instructions and a push to practice the things you hear. It says the word of the Lord increased. The word of the Lord increased. And the number of converts increased, multiplied. No, it's disciples. This is God's strategy for mass producing disciples. Dependable believers, dependable Christians. This is God's strategy. There's no other way. The word increased. What followed? The number of disciples multiplied greatly. Not converts, disciples. those who were true representation of their masters, he multiplied greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Why? They had made a commitment. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That means we will labor in doctrine. You handle the administration. We will labor in doctrine so that we can serve you the word with freshness, with fire, so you can grow, so you can represent him. And when they did that, the number of disciples multiplied. No, you look at the seventh chapter of the same book of Acts, beginning from the last part of the sixth chapter. Stephen was a deacon. He wasn't even a pastor. But because of these things I'm telling you, Stephen, in response to the contentions, there were protests and contentions from the synagogue, some of the fellows from the synagogue of the Libertines, of the Cyrenians, and all that. Right? And in response to the contention, he got set up. I think that was the first thing that happened. They came and told the high priest that Stephen was saying things that is contrary to our traditions and our fathers. And then in chapter 7, verse 1, the high priest just asked him, are these things true? He got job. The moment he asked him, Stephen, a deacon, took hours, a whole chapter. A whole chapter, he ran a commentary on the Abrahamic covenant and his essence for hours. He wasn't a pastor. He presented these things with such intelligence and power. The Bible says they could not resist the wisdom with which he spoke. He was a deacon. Why? They had had protracted interface with the teachings of God's word. Just in response, he said, are these things true? He said, men and brethren and fathers, hacking. Then he began to talk. He said, God called our father Abraham from Mesopotamia before he went to Haran. And then he began to talk. Gave a commentary, a rundown for hours. A deacon. Can you tap an average deacon in church and they will vomit word like that? When you go home, you can read it. The entire chapter 7. Was a commentary summarizing the essence of the Abrahamic covenant. A deacon, primitive apostolic practices. A deacon, sound in the covenant, sound in the understanding of the essence of the covenant. A deacon, those days are here again. We are not raising consumers. Your relationship with God is not just what you can get out of him. No. Are you aware that your priorities can impress God? When you prioritize him, you see more of his power in expression. When you say, I'm going to know this God. I don't have to be a pastor. I'm going to know this God. I'm going to serve him in the best way I can. Not just this church going thing. No. I will know him. You will buy a Bible. You will get a concordance. You will have many translations. You get a lexicon. You will now sit down. Guided by these messages that we are preaching, you begin to study. Because that is the only way you can represent him in the market square. That's the only way you can represent him in the marketplaces of life. Carrying Christian name is not enough. You must carry Christian power. It's not enough. Are you blessed? This is important. Protracted interface with the word, with the teaching of God's word, as a commitment. Oh, Stephen had been committed to the ministry of the word. This is what I'm saying. Primitive apostolic practices. Glory to God. Protracted interface. This is how men are made. This protracted interface is how men are made. There's no other way. When we talk about the making of Savior, there's no other way. What did Paul say in Acts 20, verse 32? He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. You know what he means by commend? The Greek word means to deposit. To deposit as a trust or to deposit for protection. If you read the Message translation, it means to hand over to or something like that. To give over to. He's talking about abiding. This is not some occasional. You see, the expression there doesn't mean to say hold for me and then collect it back. No. It means that when you deposit something precious in a bank for keeping. That's what he's saying. He said, I deposit you with God and I deposit you with the word of his grace. Do you understand? I hand you over to the word. Because Paul's practices attest to what I'm advocating. And I will show you shortly. Look at it. He said, now I'm turning you over to God. Our marvelous God. Whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be. And give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends. Everything you could possibly need is in the word. But you have to be deposited. He says, I give you over. I give you over. I give you. Have you ever sat down to listen to messages for 5 hours? And you're wondering why you're not making fast progress? There's no other way. You know, Christians, unconsciously, we think there's another way I can find my way. No, you can't. The beginning of the supernatural is the hearing of faith. He said, Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. He said, those that work miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You will make the word the Lord of your ears. The Lord of your ears. Oh, you make the word the Lord of your ears. That's how to make progress. He said, this word of his grace is able to deliver to you all that you need. King James says, to give you your inheritance among them which are sanctified. It doesn't matter if naturally you don't have a chance. It makes no difference. That chronic interface with the word will give you a chance. Look at Jerry Savelle. He was in America, they have nice name for it. Is it body walk? What they call Panobita? That's what they are packaging. What they call it again? Body walk or something? Body shop. Thank you for car. Is Panobita? You understand? He was a Panobita. You understand? Amen. Who got the hold of God's word? It is said that at the point you will sit down on Kenneth Copeland's messages for 12 to 18 hours every day. Just hear it. At the point he closed his shop, he said, this has not done much for me. Let me listen to word full time. Purabakapa. I'm praying in tongues in between. You know what 12 to 18 hours of word means? You can't be the same. We call it total immersion. You can't be the same. Even if you are an idiot, your mind will be reconfigured completely. You'll be moved into a path of success and victory continuously. You'll be happy today, sad tomorrow, do well today. No. Your life will be upward and forward. Upward and forward. If you come next year, I'm in a higher position. Upward and forward. There's no other way. Chronic interface with the word. Primitive apostolic practices. I'm challenging you in this service. I want you from this service, you'll clear schedule. You will sit down in the morning listening to word with your Bible. 8 a.m. public holidays, that's what you should do if there's no total immersion. 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. word. Even if you run your business and you have to work, there are time to take break. I've told you before, even natural motivation tells us, work harder on yourself than on your job, than on your business. Because no business can grow beyond you. Do you understand? No business can grow beyond you. It can't. Take it from you. No business can. My pastors know, sometimes I run away from church office. No ministry can grow beyond a pastor. If you don't want to put a cap on the growth of the business, don't deceive yourself. There are days you close the place and go somewhere else. So that you can improve you. Because once you improve, the business improves. No business can grow beyond your capacity. As a CEO, none. So you say, if business is taking my time, it's like, you know, treadmill. You know, treadmill. You are running on the treadmill, but no progress. You'll be in the same place for long. If you don't pay attention to these things you're saying. From time to time, in fact, structure and schedule it. That from So day in the month or in the week, you lock shop or put somebody there and go and improve your mind. Not in a distracted way, primarily by this protracted interface. Because when you fellowship with God, your mind is expanded. God rubs on you like perfume. It's a law of magnetism. You see, when you keep a metal close to a magnet for long, it begins to manifest magnetic property. And in life, life operates like that. Either your magnet is weak or strong. Are you here? Protracted interface with the Word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Protracted interface with the Word. This is how men are made. The Word of His grace builds you up, delivers you into your inheritance. You will notice most of the camp meetings by the charismatic revival that we'll talk about were structured that way. You see them having 3 weeks, 6 weeks, I said 7 weeks in McKinney, Texas. What do you think they were doing? Having daily meetings. The whole of morning sessions were teachers. In fact, sometimes Kenneth Hagin will not minister to the sick until the second week. That means that first week, every day, they are teaching word. And then when they start having miracle meetings, the whole thing explodes. It explodes. This is primitive apostolic practices. This was how Paul raised people. Give me Acts 19. We will close there. This was how Paul raised people. We'll continue next Sunday. Acts 19, quickly from verse... Thank you, Lord. Purabakata sile kobra, from verse 9. Okay. He said, but when divers were hardened and believed not, remember, he met 12 men who were novices. He got them converted, got them filled with the Holy Ghost in verse 5. He laid hands on them, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, remember? And then they went to the synagogue, disputing. But when divers were hardened and believed not, look at what he did. They spoke evil of the way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So he separated, he went from the synagogue. He left the synagogue, separated the disciples to the school of Tyrannus, and they began to discuss the word. And this continued. No, go back. Let me show you verse 11, 9 again. So that you have something in your mind. Disputing how long? Daily. You understand? That we have. He was having teaching meetings every day. Daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Verse 10. And this continued for the space of 2 years. Pause. Daily meetings for 2 years. So that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And then, just like what I was saying about Kenneth Hagin's meetings, and a lot of those guys in the charismatic revival move, the miraculous will explode. Look at this. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Why? The word of God is anointed. The word of God has been designed to be the conduit to transport the power of God to humanity. So anywhere you see the word being honored, you will see the supernatural being the natural habitat. Anywhere. It will be the natural habitat. Special miracles were wrought by his hands. By his hands. Teaching daily. Teaching daily. For the space of 2 years. Is somebody making commitment as you're hearing the word? We're not too busy. No, we are not. We'll give attention. Listen to me. You can put this somewhere. 45 minutes word interface per week in our typical multiple services cannot produce a disciple. Do you understand? Am I saying there's nothing wrong with the multiple services? No. Create another system for people to interface with the word. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is a believer who interfaces with the teaching of the word just once a week cannot become a disciple. It cannot. It's not possible. Everybody doing any serious thing with God was a product of this protracted interface. Product. Either in camp meetings, messages, protracted interface. When you are staying in the world, don't think that nothing is not happening. Do you understand? Things are happening. And you have to stay until, like, prayer has faces. Staying with the world also has faces. It has faces. There are burning faces. There is preparatory phase. There is burning phase. And there is revelation phase. Where it's as though the whole scale goes off. Scriptures are adding up from different parts of the Bible. You stay there until you hit that point. You just stay there. Sometimes praying in tongues. Not for a need, but for what to be broken. For the seal to be removed. God wants to be known, but he loves to hide. It's a fact. Why is he hiding? Your hunger. Your desire. Your desire. And you see, once this thing becomes a lifestyle, your life is the miraculous. Continually. Continually. Protracted interface with the world. Maybe next week, I'll show you before I go to number three, how that Paul would teach from morning on Sunday till Monday morning. Eutychus died. He woke him up. Continue teaching. That one amazing. The Bible says, and he continued the speech until daybreak, then he departed. Such commitment to the written word. Such commitment to the teaching of God's word. Such commitment. Africa has a mental disposition of superstition. And this is why a typical African who is not taught, who becomes a Christian, does not honor the teaching of God's word. Because he thinks Christianity is another version of juju. So let it happen fast. And juju, you don't need to hear what. You go meet the Baba. You say, Baba, this is what's happening. I want that woman's husband. I like him. Give him to me. It's okay. Bring this one. And they conjure and give you and you go. Christianity is not like that. Christianity is a life lived from inside out. Do you understand? So you cannot carry that typical African mindset into the faith life. No, it won't work. It won't work. Pastors are not babalawos. Churches are not shrines. Are you here? You can carry that here. Just like God told Abraham, you have to leave your father's house, your kindred, in your mind. Leave your country and come to the land that he has shown you. It's called Zion. The way of doing things here is different. Rise to your feet. Hi. Have you been blessed? Oh, glory to God. It's just getting sweeter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Those of you in Overflow One Hall, are we together? Overflow One Hall, are we together? Can you give the Lord a shout of glory? Wow, lovely, lovely. I'm glad you're following. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. What are you going to do with the words you have heard? First thing is to pray it. 1 minute, pray it. Pray it. Commitment to sound doctrine. The practice of protracted interface with the word. Pray it. Pray it. Pray it. The best way you can. Pray it. Lezu Savrima Tanabahaya. Thank you. Oh, Rebecca. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Vero sapana kesasta. Ora beko seste brunda kesasta. Luz kavre beto seste brunda siste. Inda lebro seste pora de lesa patana. Oribasoste pora de la capanda safta. Indalo se mandela gabano se bara. Just don't get distracted. Meru pasa. See, I'm committed to sound doctrine. I'm committed to the teaching of God's word. Oh, yes, I am. I'm committed. Angelica Prova, M. Jacob Radica Sostapaya, Mom Zaliga Brunda Sostapa,
Malika Brunda Sosta. Hella Brunda Sosta. Incapato Sesta Brunda Capaya. Shaligo Brenda Sosta Pura Bataya. Saliga Brugobus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kira basuba tili pradiga suste pora bakaya. Monta vripa suste pora dile kesuste pa. Lis capredo kesuste prunda kira sepenuski stapaya. Jalia to seprendo suste pora dila. Monta le conseste prunda kizeste pa. Lizo stepora dile peno katise pata. And we're out of time, but just a few minutes. Leki patos keliata. Sedilabato sepetile conske palava. Feledo kebronda kisestepola. Oh, let Christ be crystallized in your hearts. In the name of Jesus. Selibrendo kepotosa. Shelia sopredile kopadila. Mosapria tepetosa balekatosa.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.